Father in heaven, we come before you this morning, and as we've seen from your word, we can only appreciate the extent of your mercy when we comprehend the depth of our sin. And then, Father, when we consider your holiness and we consider your wrath against sin, your justice, your Son comes into view. Father, I pray that as we examine your Son this morning, as we remember your Son, you would grow in us our appreciation, our amazement, our awe at your Son, for what he would do to give himself for us. And I pray it in Christ's name. Amen. All right, well, this is the time in our service where we remember Christ. It's a time when believers remember what Jesus did for them at the cross, where he gave his body and his shed his blood for all of those who would put their trust in him. In just a few moments, we're going to be taking a small wafer and a bit of juice. And we need to remember something very important. That is that these are merely symbols. These are symbols which are drawn us to remember Christ. They don't have any inherent value in themselves. The one that has all of the value is Christ himself. Today, we're going to be looking at a passage that helps us understand how Jesus is the superior priest. So if you have your Bibles, would you turn with me to Hebrews chapter 7? We're going to be looking at verses 23 and 24. And there are men coming down the aisles. If you don't have a Bible, just raise your hand and they will get one to you. Today's passage is on page 1084. The message of Hebrews is that Jesus is superior. Hebrews tells us that Jesus is superior. He's above the angels. And Hebrews also tells us that Jesus is the mediator of a better covenant. And here in chapter 7, the message is that Jesus is a better priest. In the Old Testament, they had priests. The high priest would go once a year into the Holy of Holies, and he would offer sacrifices, first for himself, to purify himself, and then for the people of Israel, to purify them. They would be covered from their sin, but it would only last for a year. The next year, on the same day of atonement, he would have to come back and do the same thing again. But when he died, he could no longer continue in his service because he was no longer alive. A new priest would be appointed, and he would do the same thing. As I read our passage, notice how it is that Jesus is superior to the Old Testament priests that God gave to Israel, starting in verse 23 of Hebrews 7. And the former priests, on the one hand, existed in greater numbers because they were prevented by death from continuing. But Jesus, on the other hand, because he continues forever, holds his priesthood permanently. Therefore, he is able to save those forever who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. The Old Testament priest was limited. He was limited by his own frailty. He was limited by his own humanity. Every year he went in and he offered sacrifices for himself first and then for everybody else. But as I mentioned, his sacrifice that he offered was only temporary in its nature, and it had to be offered again the very next year. We see how Jesus is superior to these priests. First, in verse 24, notice how he continues forever. Jesus went to the cross, he died, and he was raised. He was alive. He lives forever, and right now he's seated at the right hand of God. So he maintains his priesthood forever. He is the great high priest. There will never be another priest. There will never be another one like Christ. There will never be a replacement for Christ. He is the great high priest who serves his people. In verse 25, we see more detail that's very, very helpful for us, that helps us see how Jesus excels and he exceeds any Old Testament priest. He is able to save forever. And this points to the work of Jesus on the cross and what he did and how it was substantially different from what any Old Testament priest would do. Jesus went on one time, on one occasion, he offered up his body in place of all of those who would put their trust in him. All of those who in the Old Testament times looked forward to the coming Savior. All of those who were contemporary to Jesus, who looked right at him at the cross. And all of us in the church age who come later and look back at Christ and what he did and recognize that him and him alone, he and he alone, is the one who is able to save us from our sin. Because he took his own sin, our own sin, in his body, and he bore that sin, and he was present before Christ, before God. And then the Father poured out his wrath upon that sin in the person of Jesus as he hung on that cross. And that is what saves permanently. That is a permanent salvation. Never needs to be repeated, never needs to be done again, ever. And look at what he does at the very end of the verse. He lives to make intercession for all of those who would put their trust in him. Right now, presently, at this moment, the Son is at the right hand of the Father, and he is interceding for all of those who have put their trust in him. And what he is doing is he and the Father are in a conversation about his work at the cross 2,000 years ago and how it was sufficient to cover and pay for and remove the sin for all of those who would put their trust in him. So if you're here this morning and you have trusted that Christ, if you've trusted the great high priest, the only high priest, Jesus Christ, when the elements come to you, take them and hold them for a minute and ponder exactly what he did in your place at the cross, that he hung on that cross bearing your sin, the totality of your sin, in his own body. And then he suffered God's wrath against that sin, and he saved you on that day. And that saving work was applied to you on the day you came to Christ, but that work was completed nearly 2,000 years ago. So you can rejoice that you have peace with God because of the work of Jesus Christ, our Savior. And then when your heart is prepared, take the elements on your own. If you're here this morning and you don't know Christ, whether you're here every week or you're here just visiting with us, please know that we are very thankful that you're in this room with us. It is our privilege for you to be with us this morning. You need to understand that you need a Savior. You need the one who saves permanently. There is nothing you can do to save yourself. The only one that can save you is the person of Jesus Christ through work that he has already done, if you will humble yourself and turn to him. But when the elements come to you, just pass them to the person next to you. After the service, there will be someone up here to the front, to your left. They would love to talk with you about what it means to know Christ, how you can know him personally as your Savior and as your Lord. Men, come and serve us, and then I'll come to close our time in prayer in just a moment.